This is our Vent Stay segment, your chance to vent politely on topics in the news. This week, we're talking about the death penalty and standardized testing opt-outs. Let me finish the thoughts on opt-outs. The legislature just passed an opt-out law in Oregon, like the one in California. If the governor signs it, school districts will have to inform parents of their right to have their kids skip statewide standardized tests, which the bill strangely refers to only as summative assessments. You can't search the word test in the bill and find it in there. There's possible financial peril here. Oregon could lose more than $100 million of federal money if the percentage of kids taking tests drops below 95%. So what are you thinking about this? Suck it up and take the test for the kids? Or let the parents opt out and run the possibility of the federal funding being trimmed? Your thoughts, more than welcome. They take center stage on our Vents Day segment. Opt out of testing and the death penalty are topics on the exchange. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. When the Nebraska legislature went ahead and ended the death penalty in the state of Nebraska, which apparently is provoking a backlash. I understand that a couple of counties have given votes of no confidence in the members of the state legislature that represent them for doing this. But it's an ongoing progression of events involving the death penalty across the country, which really surprised me when I saw George Will, of all people, go ahead and jump onto the pile with an opinion piece that came out May 20th talking about capital punishment, slow death. George Will's piece reads, the conservative case, because of course he is conservative, the conservative case against capital punishment, which 32 states have, is threefold. First, the power to inflict death cloaks government with a majesty and pretense of infallibility discordant with conservatism. Second, when capital punishment is inflicted, it cannot later be corrected because of new evidence, so a capital punishment regime must be administered with extraordinary competence. It is, however, a government program. Since 1973, more than 140 people sentenced to death have been acquitted of their crimes, sometimes by DNA evidence, had the charges against them dismissed by prosecutors, or have been pardoned based on evidence of innocence. For an unsparing immersion in the workings of the government machinery of death, read Just Mercy by Brian Stevenson, executive director and founder of the Equal Justice Initiative. George Will goes on, third, administration of death sentences is so sporadic and protracted that their power to deter is attenuated. And the expensive, because labyrinthine legal protocols with which the judiciary has enveloped capital punishment are here to stay. Granted, capital punishment could deter if overdue library books were punishable by death. None would be overdue. But many crimes for which death is reserved, including Dzhokhar Tsarnaev's crime of ideological premeditation, are especially difficult to deter. So, is there deterrence in the death penalty, in your mind? Is it doing the things it is supposed to do in slowing down or stopping certain categories of crimes? That's one thing you could argue as we talk about it in our Vents Day segment. 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. And by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I think we're just routing the phones now, so be patient. We will get to you in just a moment. But are there things about the death penalty that you think really don't work? I mean, for one thing, we have people sitting on death row for so incredibly long that some of them are dying of old age. I have the numbers in one of these. Let me dig that up. But so join us on the exchange. Let's get your thoughts on the death penalty or opting out of testing. And let me fill in the testing bit a little bit further. There's a Register Guard editorial. The Oregon legislature is trying to have it both ways. It adopted the Common Core standards for education in 2010 and is now on the verge of approving a bill that would sabotage the tests intended to measure whether the standards are being met. Lawmakers should kill the anti-testing bill. They didn't. House Bill 2655. And if they don't, they didn't. Governor Kate Brown should veto it. The Register Guard goes on. Unhappiness with the Smarter Balance test has given rise to an opt-out movement, with about 5% of parents statewide choosing to excuse their students from testing. HB 2655 would encourage the movement by requiring that schools inform parents of their right to opt out, and by allowing parents to opt out for any reason rather than having to claim their children should not be tested because of a disability or religious philosophical objections. The bill would almost certainly cause the percentage of Oregon children taking the test to fall below 95%, which the U.S. Department of Education says would trigger a cutoff of $140 million in funds for schools with high numbers of disadvantaged students. Is $140 million enough to consider maybe we shouldn't be doing this opt-out thing? Is it the kind of thing where you don't particularly want to be blackmailed, if you look at it that way, by the federal government? Your thoughts on opting out of standardized testing, welcome here on Vince Day, as are your thoughts on the death penalty. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Grumpy John in Grants Pass, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Hey, thanks, Jeffrey. You know, it is just plain distressing to me that we live in a society that is so incredibly stupid that they are held up from executing someone when we have an overabundance of heroin. You can just pump people full of heroin and they die. Now, I am not for the death penalty, but I am definitely against the stupidity of saying, well, we can't do that because we can't get this complex drugs from somewhere else. Now, the death penalty is not a deterrent in general, but if we are going to kill these people, why not harvest their organs and give their miserable life at least some use? But actually, until we get the legal system straightened out, it is unconscionable to have people being put to death with the chances of them not being well represented by our legal system. I think it should be abolished. But if it's not going to be abolished, for goodness sake, use the heroin and harvest the organs. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Grumpy John. Appreciate it. Reminder, we just had an issue with our phone forwarding system. Everything is corrected now. So if you tried to call and didn't get through, give us a chance again. 800-838-3760. Anywhere in our listening area, 800-838-3760. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. You're venting today on the death penalty and standardized testing opt-outs in place both in California already and Oregon if Governor Brown signs this bill we've been talking about. Dennis and Eugene, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Say, I wanted to talk about testing.
Sure.
I think that testing should be abolished. I don't think it serves any purpose.
Are we talking about the standardized testing or all testing of students?
All testing.
Really?
Yeah. For 10 years, I taught in private schools. And the private schools that I taught in were unique in that the instructor got to pretty much do whatever they wanted to do. And the goal was to instill in the student the love of learning, not the idea of winning, you know, gold stars or hitting
some sort of benchmark anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anybody that has ever, like, I have two sons, and both of them are completely different when it came to school. One of my sons was school was so easy for him that it was no challenge at all. My other son, he just hated school so much that getting him to go to school was the problem, not kidding. Let alone worry about testing. So, and it, what's curious is the boy that was really good at school and got straight A's through college and blah, 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 he ended up being a professional poker player for his life's work
really, so
far. And my other son, who really hated school, is one of Boeing's top software engineers down in Southern California. So testing had nothing to do with anything that they ever did in their lives. And in general, I think that's true with all children. And what I would recommend to any parent is find out what your kids like and then encourage them to do it. And every time they want learn a little bit more about it, make it possible for them to learn, but make them do the learning. And then they'll have a whole lifetime of enjoyable learning. And that's what life's about. Enjoy the pleasure that you get from learning about new things.
But, Dennis, without any kind of testing at all, I mean, if the teacher doesn't give the occasional quiz to the students to see what the gaps in their knowledge are, how do we move ahead to fill in those gaps?
Well, Jeff, I don't hear so good anymore, so I couldn't quite understand what you said. But I'm just assuming that you're saying that without testing, we can't find out whether people are doing anything that's good.
Well, and yeah, we've got to find the gaps in their knowledge is the point.
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is, that doesn't matter. What matters is if a person likes to learn, then they'll learn on their own. And what we want is people who want to learn on their... How about there's so many people, they get a job, and they go to their job, and then they just, like, quit. They say, okay, I went to college, I got my degree, now I got my job, now I don't ever have to learn anything again. And so they just sit there and take up space for as long as they possibly can, hoping that they never have to learn anything again and collect a paycheck. What a miserable life. Why wouldn't you want to be able to learn things? When you go get a job you like, and learn all the new aspects of it each year. Mm-hmm. You should look forward to that. That's what makes life rewarding.
Hmm. Well, you inspire us with your talk of love of learning, Dennis. It's good to hear from you, as always. This is Venn Stay on the Jefferson Exchange. Our topics are opting out of standardized testing, which Oregon's legislature just passed and sent the bill on to the governor. It requires school districts to inform parents that they have the right to opt out of the Smarter Balance test and other tests. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange to talk about that. Our other topic is the death penalty, whether it actually is a deterrent, whether it is time to think about doing things a different way, either with the death penalty or getting rid of it altogether. Join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, or by email jx@jeffnet.org. Joe in Dillard, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day. Joe, go ahead. Joe, you're 10 seconds behind. You got to get to the phone. All right, I'm going to put him on hold. We'll come back to Joe if he figures it out. Let's go to Jim in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Yes, good morning.
Hi.
Quick comment. The death penalty thing, was it Kansas two counties or something? I would want to know whether those two counties had a tremendous religious bent over the others. It would be interesting to know. On testing, 21st century, we all need to get along, work with each other, and we end up working with each other, you know, in anything. Always have testing in groups of three or best five. It explores people's ability to, well, grasp what each other knows and how to work with each other. That's, I think, extremely important.
All right, so the kids really need to work together with each other. That's even better than testing, I think.
Yeah, thank
All right.
you.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate that. Testing and the death penalty, opting out of standardized testing and the death penalty are topics on this Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. 800-838-3760. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Let me explain what happened with what I think happened anyway with Joe and Dillard. We do operate on a 10-second delay. So if you're listening to us on the radio while you're waiting to have your call taken, you're going to get the wrong impression of where you are in time. So that's why we say stay by the phone, stay on the phone, turn the radio down, and just ignore what you're hearing there. Bree, Jim's claims or questions about what happened in not Kansas but Nebraska with the death penalty change and the fact that some counties had voted no confidence in their legislators because of the vote to repeal the death penalty in Nebraska. Nebraska is such a red state, this really comes as something of a surprise. Trying to figure out what it is that motivated such a Republican state, which, as some people point out, may even be more conservative than Texas, is the state that went ahead and got rid of the death penalty in this case. So that's one bit of political intrigue about all of this. Let's get your thoughts, though, about the death penalty generally. Is it doing the job it is supposed to do? Does it work as any sort of deterrent? Particularly, is there any deterrent factor involved when people know at this point that if they get the death penalty, they're going to wait on death row for a very, very long time? Join us on the Exchange with your thoughts about the death penalty and opting out of standardized testing. 800-838-3760 around the region. 800-838-3760, jx@jeffnet.org. The Sacramento Bee weighed in on this issue this week with an editorial. It says California should end the death penalty charade. At some point, and we hope that point is soon, the editorial reads, California's elected leaders must admit that the system cannot be repaired. On this point, they would follow Nebraska, where legislators in that Republican state last month banned capital punishment. The state's failure to acknowledge reality came into focus again, reads the editorial, when California settled a suit in which the Criminal Justice Legal Foundation sought to force the state to develop a single drug protocol for dispatching condemned people. This came 9 years after a federal judge in San Jose found that California's choice of lethal drugs was unconstitutional. As part of the settlement, the state will await a U.S. Supreme Court decision expected to be issued soon that likely will determine the legality of Oklahoma's execution drugs of choice. By terms of the settlement, the state will then come up with a solution within 4 months. But, of course, death penalty opponents will do what they are morally compelled to do, sue. Litigation will drag on. Here's some interesting numbers here. California's put 13 men to death since reinstating the death penalty, plus a 14th who was sentenced to death here but executed in Missouri for crimes there. It hasn't executed anyone since 2006. In California, reads the Sacramento Bee, another 66 condemned inmates have died of natural causes. 24 have committed suicide, and 11 succumbed to other causes, including drug overdoses, in cell blocks that are supposed to be highly secure. An $835,000 execution chamber completed in 2010 has never been used in California. People on death row have committed horrible murders. Each should die in prison. But California's elected leaders and the electorate must face reality. The death penalty has not worked and never will. That from the Sacramento Bee. Let's get your thoughts. Death penalty and standardized testing, 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Jacob in Springfield, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi, Jeffrey. Good morning.
Hi.
I wanted to ask anyone who wanted to see this current state of education is just to talk to a high school student or graduate and just ask them these three basic questions. Today happens to be the anniversary of Watergate, by the way. Ask them what Watergate is. And you'd be surprised your answer about that, because it was a constitutional crisis, but some people think it has to do with water or something. You know, ask them
really?
To subtract, well, ask them to add two fractions. Let's say 2/3 plus 1/8, okay?
Uh-huh.
And for them, adding is something to do with the calculator. They are unable to add something simple like that. You know, ask them to, if you write a cursive essay, ask them to read a cursive paragraph. Cursive means longhand. They cannot read cursive. You know, they can only read typing things that are on computers or typed up like block print. Okay. My point is this. There's three things that need to happen for education to happen. And we concentrate on the teachers and the schools, but teachers need to teach. Parents need to parent, meaning discipline and teaching work habits and hard work. And the last thing is students need to study. Students think that if they just maybe sleep on their book, it'll absorb the information by osmosis. But no, you have to put in the time. You have to read. You have to write. You have to cogitate. You have to spend time with the material if you want it to, you know, sink in and become, you know, useful. Just like those two questions I was asking. And they think if by playing video games, you're going to get there. They're not. They're falling behind in the world. There's no. It's very easy to unmask this, you know, deception.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thanks for your own test version there, Jacob. Thanks for that. Appreciate it. And thanks also for the reminding us that June 17th, 1972 is, in fact, the date at which the Watergate break-in took place. And yes, I think those of us who are old enough to remember it when it actually happened, remember that there was a break-in at Democratic headquarters at the Watergate complex in Washington, D.C. On and on and on it went until Richard Nixon resigned in August of 1974 from the presidency. More calls. Let's go to Bob and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Yes. My comment is that the purpose of tests is to determine whether or not a subject has been learned or an idea has been learned.
Mm-hmm.
Without tests, you never know whether something's been learned. You just have people studying and learn and going through the process of studying, but they can't get any feedback. So tests are very useful in letting a student learn what they've learned, determine what they've learned. It's the use of tests that's the problem. If you use the test to evaluate teacher, I think that's a very, very dangerous thing to do.
All right, that is one of the major concerns. You've hit the nail on the head about one of the major points of contention over standardized testing is that if it is going to be used to decide which are the good teachers and which are the good schools, you've got some real opposition there from teachers unions in particular. Thanks for that, Bob. Appreciate it. Joe in Talent writes about the death penalty, our other topic on this Vents Day. He says, we all react differently to deterrence. The fact that the prospect of a ticket and increased insurance rates encourages me to follow the law proves it works on me. To others, mostly California drivers passing through construction zones here along I-5, it doesn't appear to. Same goes with the prospect of being put to death for a crime committed. But in a larger sense, what does the death penalty say about our country? I never really understood why we continue to think resorting to a medieval mindset when it comes to punishment. But considering we profess being the nation of God, it would seem logical we would continue to kill those who kill. Eye for an eye has never been a deterrent, and given some of the darker aspects of human nature, I doubt it ever will. So writes Joe in Talent. Jerry in Ashland, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day. Jerry, go ahead.
Yes, calling about the death penalty.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I worked for several years at the California Supreme Court, and I share George Will's concern from a conservative perspective, because I am a conservative, and, for example, an inordinate amount of time is spent on the death penalty cases, time that cannot be spent on other legal matters. So from a just use of public funds and resources, it's a black hole that sucks up time, effort, and money that could be spent otherwise. Also, I believe he's correct in his point that it is a governmental program, and it will have mistakes. We have learned, as your show pointed out earlier, there have been more than 100 people exonerated on death row, and the people who most vigorously support the death penalty, I think if they really thought about it, they would oppose it, because if you are confident that it's an error-free system and that no innocent person is put to death, then the simple solution, it seems to me, would be to enact a law that if somebody is on death row and is sentenced to the capital punishment, if it turns out that they are exonerated, then everyone in the process would be sentenced to death, from the district attorney to the jurors to the judges. And if that were the rule, I can assure you that nobody would support the death penalty. So the point being that everybody who thinks they support it really doesn't, because they know there are mistakes.
All right.
But they don't want to have any consequence for those mistakes.
All right, Jerry, thanks for that. Appreciate it. Thanks to everybody who took part in this week's Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Always a lively discussion.